Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. Are you following Catholic Sports Radio on social media yet? I would really love to see more folks engaged that way. There are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that as well on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. And one more reminder that I have mentioned in the past, Merchantside Marketing Group, the company that built the website for me. Please remember that if and when you or someone you know needs their services and contacts them, to let them know that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. And presumably, you will have looked at the website. Hopefully, you've looked at it by now. Regardless, the show's been going for more than 2.5 years now. And as I mentioned before, people say that you're supposed to change your website every 2 years. And I just love the job that Merchantside Marketing Group did so much that I really have no design, pun intended, question mark, on changing that site anytime at all in the near future. They've done wonderfully with that, and I encourage you to consider them for any website needs or marketing needs that you or someone you know may have. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. There are times when I am preparing for an episode of Catholic Sports Radio when I wonder if my message is impacting people. In the middle of the show each week, you hear me take a pause from the guest interview long enough to share with you about this ministry, and I always state that I'm trying to move more people closer to Christ. Still, though, there is at times the, is it working? Question. It's not unlike a coaching change in sports or putting in a new offense or switching personnel, maybe changing line combinations. Owners of teams want to know from their general manager what steps are being taken to make the team better. What's going to get done for the good of the franchise? And then coming back around to my ministry, people likely still aren't sold on sports being able to mix with faith. But for all this, and for testimony to the fact that countless facets of our everyday lives, not just what we do in church on Sunday, we can look to the New Testament and Romans chapter 8, where in verse 28 we read, "We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." Friends, notice there that it doesn't say some things work for good, and it does say for those who love God. It doesn't say for priests and bishops. So let us, who are all called to serve him, work for good in our sporting lives and in our everyday lives. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was a two-time All-American at Notre Dame, reaching the Final Four 3 times in 4 years. She went on to excel as a professional soccer player for 7 years and was part of championship teams and earned the opportunity to train at the highest level with the U.S. Women's National Team. Hers is an amazing story, overcoming 11 surgeries, broken ribs, and concussions, all while moving to 7 different states. In addition to being a former pro athlete, she is a mentor, coach, speaker, and massage therapist. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Brittany Bach.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. Looking forward to this.
I'm glad to be in.
Brittany, we have lots to cover, so let's dive right in. You grew up both Catholic and a soccer player, meaning that faith and sports were mixing for you from a young age.
Yeah. So, I mean, I started playing since I can remember. My parents just put, I have an older sister, younger brother, and put us in all different kind of sports, whatever we like to play. And so from growing up, I mean, even on Sundays going to mass, we were ministers of the altar. And so we'd be up there, and then there'd be a lot of Sundays where we, pretty sure we were in our soccer clothes and went straight to the games right from church. So big part of our life.
No doubt, no doubt. Let's fast forward way ahead to college, and you're having attended Notre Dame. Was that because it was a Catholic school? Was it, no, I went there because of a soccer scholarship? Maybe was it both? How did you choose to go there?
Yeah, so in my recruiting process and you know, playing with youth national team all the way up there, I had a lot of schools looking at me, and truly in that time of my life, my goal and my dream was to be a professional soccer player. Not only that, but play on the national team, play in the Olympics, World Cup. And so when I was looking at colleges, for sure, soccer was one where it was very high on the list, like extremely important. But then also my faith was a huge part of that. And I had actually wanted to go to North Carolina growing up. And that was my, it was either between North Carolina and Notre Dame were my final choices. With education, the faith, location too. I lived in the Midwest. And so that had a big draw. And when I stepped on campus for my unofficial visit, there was like the magic of Notre Dame and just a really special thing. Mm. Yeah. And I think soccer, obviously that's was the big reason I was like, I'm going to college to play soccer, get a good education, but you're surrounded by so much beauty. And sometimes I don't think, you know, I look back and I feel like I didn't take advantage as much as I wish I would have now, knowing where I'm at now.
Well, you know, we do hear on this show stories that run the gamut in terms of guests who say they went to college and became all about the party life. We hear others who say they stayed true to their faith, and then people who are kind of in the middle. So what did the college years look like for you, Brittany, in terms of your faith life?
Yeah, well, I had this pulling desire of my heart. And so looking back, I mean, even to my youth and even in high school, I don't remember a lot. And I blame that on concussion from soccer. But I had this desire, and I remember having this strong desire, but I wasn't going to Mass on Sundays. That was game day. And I wish that I would have made that a part of it. There were times I would go to the grotto, but soccer, I was pretty distracted with soccer and boys. Like I love to hang out with all the other athlete guys. Like I would go into one of their dorms and they'd be all playing video games, and I just hang out with like eight of the guys. I just loved that. And so there was quite a distraction. Partying and all that was not, like, I never had a sip of alcohol until I was 27 years old.
Wow.
So that party life was never really, yeah, not even a sip. And so that was really, I was so driven with soccer. So soccer was truly like this drive, but I kept feeling that pull and that tug of my heart. And I would even get almost angry at myself because I'm like, oh, I should be praying more. Like I felt the pull, but there was too much noise otherwise.
Wow. Wow. Well, you got drafted right out of college, which obviously had to be super exciting, but I imagine that gets overwhelming, meaning you probably had to move, you were meeting all new teammates, you were learning the system of a different coach. Were you able to still practice your faith then, or did it take a backseat to everything that I'm mentioning here?
Yeah, no, my faith, I think my soccer journey and my career, it's like this yearning to grow with the Lord in relationship. And so again, soccer, I was so driven, and getting drafted in the pros, and like, especially how it happened. And then I was right off, and I left campus, I think the end of January, maybe. So I missed the whole second semester of my senior year. And so there was definitely a lot of training, and yeah, it was all soccer now. And now I still had to finish up school, and I did that from afar, but getting in, I got drafted by LA. Ended up living an intermittent time before I got a different host family. Two Notre Dame alum, Jeremy and Angie Akers, played football and volleyball at Notre Dame. So they took me in, which was really cool just to be having that alumni network. And so I would find church and go to mass, but it wasn't like this daily complete sacrifice. I was extremely driven on soccer. But again, the girls on my team and some of the other rookies and older players too, but I was always drawn to players that had a deep relationship with the Lord or were seeking. And so through that journey, I would, in every city that I went to, and you mentioned that a little bit, but I would find, obviously, it's easy as a Catholic to find Mass in places where you go, which I'm so grateful, but I would end up going to Mass by myself. And a lot of times it was hard because if we traveled on the weekends for our games, but then having more community with people that were, let's just say, non-denominational. Mm-hmm. So I was still growing in my relationship with the Lord, but was kind of doing my Catholic faith on the side, because then I would get involved with communities in the church, but it wasn't like the athlete culture that I was used to, if that makes sense.
Mm, wow. Well, let's move ahead to 2016. Talk about moving to Denver and the impact that that had on your faith life.
Yeah, well, talk about putting your sport and having that as your identity. After 7 years of playing pro, and I had 11 surgeries and all that, I knew I just had to step away from a state where there was a professional team, and my sister was out here in Colorado. And so I was praying, and I remember sitting in bed before I had left to come here in the spring of 2016. And it was actually Chicago Red Stars had my rights to play if I wanted to play another season. But I was just, there was a lot of trauma in my body. Things weren't healing. And I would just like cry out to the Lord. And that was a really hard time to like let go of that. But even more so in the midst of this move, obviously building up to that point, a lot of friends would listen to sermons, would do Bible studies. And I was just praying like, Lord, I need you to show me, like, I want you to show me how you want me to walk with you, and like open doors or shut doors that need to be shut, and open doors that you want opened. And so I moved, and I first lived with my sister really quickly in that time. Would find a Mass near me, which was cool because at that church, I ended up going to a Jason Everett talk and met some groups of people who did like Catholic sports out here in Denver. Mm. So right away, kind of had that. But my prayer was like, Lord, can you open the floodgates? Can you show me where you want me to walk? And in that, and this wasn't, I had a friend that had given me a Bible back in high school. It was an NIV version of the Bible, which I predominantly used all throughout. I didn't really know. Like, I grew up Catholic, but I didn't have, where I look at some people now, I'm like, oh my gosh, they are so formed. And I look at some of these kids and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. But in that move, lost that Bible.
Uh-oh.
No idea to this day where it is. And so I had my Catholic Bible that my brother had got me. And so in that move, though, as soon as I prayed and like, for God to open those floodgates, I ended up meeting a girl through a fan. So a fan, when I played professionally in Houston, oh, this is crazy. I was injured. I had torn my ACL, and a fan reaches over and gives me this book. It says Compete Inside. And it was like 100 meditations from athletes and then a little wristband. But fast forward a year later, and he just was checking in on me moving, you know, and Evan, and he introduced me to this girl, Morgan, who worked for Focus, and I didn't know what Focus was up until that point, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And all of a sudden, I am like in this bubble of, I did not realize coming to Denver just how beautiful the Catholic community is, and how many different, like, there's like so many different churches that just like strong community. And there's a church that I would go to, but there were so many events and candlelight mass and outreach and gathering at the Grotto and all these different things. And then the community of Focus and Catholic sports and Creatio. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Outstanding.
And just all of this young adult community on fire for Jesus. And it was amazing.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And you even revisited one of the sacraments, yes, in Denver?
Yes. Yeah. So Morgan, who I eventually ended up becoming roommates with her and a couple other girls, one day she's just like, hey, Britt, do you want to go to confession? And mind you, I hadn't gone in 10, 15, I don't even know the last time I had gone to confession. Mm. I mean, it was probably before high school. And I just was like, yeah. And so it wasn't right away. And it was like, I had built that friendship with her and got to, you know, just to get to hear about my life and in my journey. And it was just like this soft, tender, like, hey, would you like to go to confession? And I like had a tear and I was like, yes. Mm. So she went with me, dropped me off. And it was, with a priest up in, at the Focus offices. And it was just like, yeah, you don't realize the weight that you hold on to. And so, yeah, it was really beautiful to be able to do that.
Yeah, just the way you're telling that story, you could tell that it was so meant to be. And I got a little cry in my throat as you were saying that, because you could tell that that was the Lord moving in the very prayers that you had been asking of him and led you to where you needed to be. You just didn't know that you needed to be in confession. And as you say, we all know, you know, the weight of the world gets lifted off your shoulders when you go through that. And for the audience, yes, you did hear her correctly a minute or two ago, Brittany, and you heard me correctly in the intro. I said that Brittany overcame 11 surgeries, broken ribs, and concussions, all while moving to 7 different states. But before I have her talk about overcoming all those challenges, those hurdles, yes, I alluded to in the Ministry Moment segment before I brought Brittany on, Catholic Sports Radio is my ministry. There are people who do podcasts just for fun. I often use the example of someone who might do a podcast about, say, their favorite NFL team, just because they're such a passionate fan and they love talking about whoever that team is. You hear me saying that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. That doesn't mean that I'm just doing this for fun and or as a hobby. The mission here is to use the intersection of faith and sports to move more people deeper in their faith and their relationship with God, if that's what it takes to do so, meaning showing that faith and sports can and do go together. It's why I've gone and been a speaker at the Second Global Congress on Sport and Christianity. It's why I have had a table at a Catholic men's conference. It's why you see Request Bruce as a speaker on the website. I felt the call to do this, and I'm working for God and for you. I trust that you are getting value from everything that I'm doing with Catholic Sports Radio, and I do truly hope that it's helping you in your faith life and that you find benefit in this ministry and the work I do to try to help move more people in their faith life. And I do ask you to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry through a financial contribution. If you've been listening for a while, then you've heard me mention listeners and guests who have contributed to Catholic Sports Radio, and you've heard me say that there are two ways you can do so. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a Donate to CSR button that allows you to contribute securely online in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable giving as a one-time contribution. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of the website to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with details on where you can send a check. You've also heard me name names in the past. That's a good thing. I'm not calling people out. If you want your name said on Catholic Sports Radio for having made a donation, I will happily do so. Or as some have opted to do instead, they ask me to keep it anonymous. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Brittany, you attended the Student Leadership Summit in Chicago in 2018, which had some powerful speakers in and of themselves, and had a surprise speaker as well. Tell the audience who I'm referring to, as well as your experience at that event.
Oh my gosh. Well, so as I moved to Denver and got introduced to all these Focus people, they were like, oh, you should do SEEK or SLS. And I just had such a, like, this desire. And I get there and I go by myself. But really, I'm like, I know a lot of people. So I'm like, I'm just going to go. I knew people that I could say hi to. But yeah, it was just so beautiful, so powerful. There were so many talks that like will hit everyone in different ways, and like adoration, and obviously knowing all the people that I know, didn't like make the secret known. And so when, are you talking about Jim Caviezel?
Yes.
Yeah. So Jim, so who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, for those of you who don't know. But it honestly was, oh, my heart just, I couldn't believe it. I freaked out too. I was like one of the like college kids screaming. but it was, it was just like, I don't know, just the softness and the tenderness of his heart and how he spoke. I was just like, oh, so that was amazing. And then I also, when Varsity Catholic, it was a break-off session. I'm totally blanking on his name. Baseball player.
Mike Sweeney, probably.
Yes. So having to be able to meet him and chat with him and being yoked to Christ and just as an athlete connecting so much to him. I mean, that, it was just such a great experience for people who, you know, whether it be SEEK or SLS, some of those conferences, it's just being in person. And I know sometimes the last couple of years, last year has to go virtual, but it has such a big impact on me and in different ways getting together. So we did small groups in years after that last year and did small groups and did it online. And I think it just, it's just such a special, it's a gift to be able to be in community and fellowship with that many people and just dive into that. And being there in person though was extremely powerful.
Yeah. In fact, for the audience, if you didn't hear it, go back 3 weeks ago to episode 140. And Samantha Kelly told a great story on that episode about attending a conference. It was in Orlando and the huge, huge impact that it had on her. And I also want to mention, Brittany, I believe that Bishop Robert Barron and Father Mike Schmitz were both speakers at the Chicago event that you went to. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Father Mike, too, I got to meet him. And I was like, oh my gosh, Father Mike. But being able to like meet him, and then I later, like it was during the night, and then later I got on an elevator and I like opened a door and it's him. And I'm trying not to, especially being a professional athlete and like being around professional athletes and like, okay, don't fangirl. But I was like, hi. I go, I don't know if you remember me. And he goes, the soccer player. And I felt so like known and for how many people that he knows and all of this. And it was just really cool. Just to hear from these amazing men and women and just pour their hearts out and like the ministry work you're doing and what they're doing. It's just like they have this heart for Jesus and how he's transformed their lives. And now yeah. they are pouring into other people. And that's like, what a gift, you know, through all the surgeries, injuries and everyone for our stories where we have had such pain and just suffering and struggles. And it's like, why me? Like, why is this happening? But ultimately it's that pain and that suffering that it's where we find Jesus even more. And we are more bound, like connected to him at the cross and can surrender that. And then that gives us a voice, and just how he walks with us through
That's
it
because right.
it's not easy.
That's right. That's Ugh. Right. And I'm going to have Brittany share her story with us. But first, I also want to recommend to the audience, if you didn't hear last week's episode with NASCAR Hall of Famer Bobby Allison, talk about overcoming tragedy. He himself had a career-ending crash, and we talked about that. We also talked about he survived it. Obviously, he was on the show, but it still ended his auto racing career. But he lost two of his sons in the space of 11 months, one at the age of 27 and one at the age of 32. So talk about dealing with, I don't even want to say adversity because that's beyond adversity. But please go back and listen to my conversation with Bobby Allison if you didn't hear it. And in the meantime, folks, you've heard me mention a couple times now, and Brittany said it herself, but it bears repeating, 11 surgeries, broken ribs, and concussions, all while moving to 7 different states. Brittany, plus on your website, it says, fall down 7 times, get up 8, never give up. So please, what is your message? What was your inspiration? How can we overcome adversity that we all face, given that you obviously got knocked down over and over again mm-hmm. in your athletic career, and you just kept getting right back up, figuratively speaking?
Yeah, well, you know, as I said earlier today, just my desire for soccer and to play at the highest level and to play in the Olympics and World Cup and win, I had such that strong path. I didn't drink. I tried to just stay that path. And so But right out of, you know, coming out of college where it's like, Lord, I want to walk with you. I had that calling to my heart, but I wasn't making the time for it, I guess. And so not that God does things to us, but he'll use, like you had said, he'll use all for good for those who love him. And like, one of the first surgeries and injuries that I had was actually my rookie season. So I played with LA Soul, and one of the first practices I stepped back really bad, actually defending Marta, who is like FIFA player of the world, like five times in a row. I mean, she's amazing, turbo speed. Well, I was doing a one-on-one drill and I was defending her, and I stepped back and this immediate like snap pain. And I was like in preseason. But for me, I was just like, okay, that hurts, but I've got to play through it. I didn't know what it was. And trainer looked at it and he's like, oh, like, kind of like, you're fine. And at the rate that I was playing and how I was playing, it probably seemed like I was okay. And so that year I played with the women's national team all year. I was discovered in the first game of the pro league in the first inaugural game.
Wow.
So with that though, I played through a lot, and you know your bodies, but you also think you're invincible. And I was in that position where I was like, I am finally on the national team. Like, this has been my dream. And so I pushed through it. And then ultimately later in a camp with the national team, stepped pretty hard in the ball of my other foot, like the ball of my foot was really giving me pain. Well, I played the whole season, and it was eventually I was in Germany with the national team and got this pain on my, I like got kicked pretty hard, like down on my foot. And I was like, I just can't do this. I ended up getting MRIs and all that. And I ended up having to have double foot surgery, one for a snapped Lisfranc joint ligament on my left. And then my sesamoid bone had broke on my right foot. So essentially I played an entire year on two messed up feet.
Wow.
And so just as an athlete, I mean, he just sees just what people play through. Oh my gosh. He played for the Saints quarterback. Why am I blanking?
Drew Brees.
Playing with like 11 broken ribs and a punctured lung. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I broke one rib and that is so painful. But through all of this, you just see like the resilience of athletes and people in general. But it's one of those things, just as a athlete and high level athlete, you're just kind of programmed. You push through pain and you do this. And so, but in that, I would continue to push through and I would work my way back through injury, through rehab, and push it hard. And I started to, in this journey, as I continued to fall down, there were times when I just felt weaker and weaker and weaker and cry out to God, like, why? Like, what am I doing wrong? But then every time I come back, I mean, it actually, through my injuries and surgeries, I instead of running from the Lord, I cried out. I got angry, you know. I wasn't always nice, maybe, to God. But I wrestled a lot, but it was in that where I started to realize that like I'm trying to operate in my own strength. And for so many years, it could serve me well. It got me to the highest level in soccer. But ultimately, it's like my strength, I was just getting beaten down. And so scripture, oh my gosh, I don't know if it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians 12, but Paul is talking, he said, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I might have paraphrased that a little bit, but it's what I call this surrendered strength. Like, his strength, not mine. And so had I continued to try to do it on my own, I don't know, maybe some people do in other ways, but it was more than just, to me, you know, as I look back, it was more than just this sport. It was like, why am I playing this game? You know, who am I running the race for? Like, what am I trying to chase after?
Yeah.
And so this strength of my own and wanting to be like the best, it became like this huge humbling process and praise to pray, God, keep me humble. Because as you know, as professional athletes, there's a lot of ego that's involved. I mean, it's the nature of it, but I was, Lord, keep me humble. And then I, you know, get all these injuries and I'm like, okay, I don't want to be humbled anymore. I don't want any more injuries. But truly in those moments, I wrestled a lot. It was not easy. And I think I fought it a lot more than maybe I wish if I would have surrendered it a little bit more. But I had so many people, teammates, but mentors that just came into my life at times that continued to bring me back to the Lord in no matter what.
Well, sure, because, you know, we all hear that story, that saying, that poem, whatever they call it, about the footprints in the sand. And I'm listening to all of your stories, and as I'm hearing you talk about that first season, where first you're going one-on-one with Marta, and one foot goes, and then before you know it, the other foot goes. To me, I'm hearing in that that the reason that you were able to play that entire season, even though one foot and then the next both had very serious injuries to them, is because the Lord was the one that was helping you to run that race.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was all these adversities, it was all these injuries, it was everything you had to overcome that did make you draw closer to him, to seek him and say, why are all these things happening to me? Only to realize, oh, because you're with me always, and because you're the one that's helping me get through all of these. In fact, I want you to share with the audience, we did some name dropping before, but you even attended a Catholic soccer camp 2 years in a row.
Yeah. So that, gosh, it's just amazing how God works. And so one of our old, like our, one of our best friends, like families played soccer with them when we were younger. He was a part of this. And so he had kind of, I don't know if he had mentioned it. And then someone, like one of my brother's friends, maybe who was in seminary, who said something like, oh, my buddy's got a sister who played soccer. So long story short, I get introduced, and I talked to Kyle Langan, and he was kind of like getting the show going there at the Catholic soccer camp and doing this. And ironically, a couple months back, I was talking to some of these college girls at that SLS, at that student leadership summit. And as I'm just talking about soccer and all that, they're like, oh, you need to meet Father Chase.
Mm.
Like, oh, he's awesome. He used to play professional soccer and now he's a priest. And so like kind of have that in the back of my mind, like, oh, I got to meet this. Never met him. And then all of a sudden go to this Catholic soccer camp and he's there.
Mm.
And Father Burke Masters, who's awesome, got to pop by. But just seeing, you know, really connected with Father Chase because he played pro soccer. He was at that high level and shares his testimony and his story. Like, if this is it, you know, and being able to share like testimonies there and all of that. And I just one quick testimony to the suffering and the pain and the why. I remember it was in Houston. It was my second to last season. I was playing opening game for Houston Dash. My parents were there. My agent was there. And it was kind of like a new fresh start, new season.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up getting injured in the first minute 28. And I won't go through that story.
Wow.
There's a lot of stories with that that I wish if we had more time, I would share. But afterwards, opening game was April 12th. And that year, it was Palm Sunday the next day.
Mm.
So I go to Mass and we didn't know exactly what I did, but in my heart, I'm like, okay, my season's over. But we go to Mass and my left knee, that I had hurt. And so just sitting in Mass and I'm kind of numb. I'm just kind of staring blankly, like confused, like, God, why the heck? Why? Like, why? What am I doing wrong? Like, I'm trying to walk with you. And this is like intense pain, like feeling abandoned.
Mm.
And I'm just sitting there like kind of numb in Mass and I'm just like holding my knee and I have sandals on. And so since I can't kneel down, my left leg was straight. I see the scar on my left foot back from 2009,
mm-hmm.
from like 5 years earlier, 5-6 years earlier. And the scar where you would look at it just, it's right in the middle of my foot. And so I look at that and I'm just like, there's this moment, like this pause and this stirring in my heart. And there's that couple years before, again, where we are at now, I had a couple wrist surgeries from falling in soccer. Wow. And so I'm like holding this on my wrist.
Wow.
Where I broke my rib was right in the side, my right side, up, like right where. And so I like physically start to touch these areas of my body. And my head was down most of the time. And I start to touch these areas of my body. I'm like, why? And I realize, like, the nail in the foot, like, the nail in the hand, the pierce in the side, and the concussions ahead. Mm. And I, like, look up, and I just see the crucifix.
Oh, boy.
And it was just this, like, shift of, why me? Why me? Like, you died for me. And so I wish I could say that in that moment and everything. And I was like, woohoo, like, but there was still a lot of wrestling, but there was that moment where he continued to say, I'm right here with you. Like, your scars are mine. Like, I have those. I know what you're going through. Yeah. And so that continuous draw through the suffering and through the pain, just as he continues to pursue our hearts all the time.
Wow. Wow. It's so beautiful. I saw where you're going with that, but it's still so powerful, and you're so blessed. People hear that and they say, how is she blessed? You've been telling us over and over, Bruce, about how many surgeries she's had, and she's telling us all the injuries, and those are a blessing. It's not unlike, I've shared this before, I've had two open heart surgeries. I survived a motorcycle accident. I had the C word that we all know has been around for the last year. And I don't mean cancer. I mean the thing that caused the pandemic. I beat that earlier this year. And I'm blessed to be sitting here talking to Brittany and doing the things that I do. And everybody says, you know, God has special plans for you to come through all those. And here's Brittany testifying to the same thing and being blessed to be able to look at your foot and look at your hand and know that your rib and everything equates to exactly what Jesus experienced. So I know, folks, those of you in the audience, I know this episode is going long. I want to wrap it up, but I also want to have Brittany share just one more story with us because I know this one's going to be good. You have a crazy story, Brittany, about a trip to the Holy Land last year.
Oh my gosh. I just got chills as you said that. So with Holy Name Parish here, I was actually going to a different parish, but I get invited from a friend to get added on to this group that was going to the Holy Land. And up until that point, we had a little mini retreat the weekend before or a couple weeks before. And Father Daniel, you know, was trying to prepare our hearts. Like, this is a pilgrimage. This isn't a vacation. This is something where we're just going to walk with the Lord and see what he provides for us and where he takes our hearts. And so that little mini retreat actually was such a gift because we fly out March 8th of 2020. So if any of you know the dates of when everything started to shut down, we flew to London and then had a 12-hour layover, and then we were to fly to Tel Aviv that night.
Wow.
And so everyone's checking all their phones, like, everything, are we going to be able to get out? So we fly, we get to London, and we have 12 hours. So we're out in the city for like 7. So we're walking around. I mean, we end up seeing the Queen pass by. I was like, whoa, this is crazy.
Meanwhile, she's on a podcast going, and I saw Brittany Bach pass by. That was cool.
So we get on the bus to head back to Heathrow Airport, and Father Daniel's like, okay, everything looks good. Like, we're good to go as far as there were things starting to shut down because of COVID. And he's like, we're good to go. So we drive back an hour and a half. I forget what it was. And I kid you not, as soon as we pulled up to the airport, he gets on the little microphone and he goes, hey, so I wish I was kidding, but if we go to Israel, if we fly into Tel Aviv, we will automatically put into a 14-day quarantine.
Whoa.
And so he's like, so we're not going, right? We kind of like, he was looking for us like, oh my gosh, what do we do? But it was just like such a shock. And so we get into Heathrow, and Father Daniel goes to like figure out with travel agency and all of this. And she was actually my roommate at the time. And she goes, "Hey everyone," there's 22 of us. "Hey everyone, I'm going to pray a rosary and you don't have to join, but I'm just going to pray a rosary and offer this up." Meanwhile, people are like, "Well, I got to figure out, you know, how am I going to get home? Like, what are we going to do?" And so everyone ended up sitting and we prayed a rosary out loud. And like after those 20 minutes, as soon as we finished, Father Daniel came back and said, "Okay, we're going."
Wow.
Like it opened up.
Wow.
Or for whatever thing. And it was just like, oh, I got chills again just sharing that. Cause it was just like, wow. Like instead of taking things into our own hands, it's like, God, we give this to you, like Jesus. Mm-hmm. and so that alone just kind of set the precedent of the trip. We were supposed to have 10 days there. And we were there the first day. And then the second day we find out our flight gets canceled. And so already we knew like, oh, we were going to miss going to Bethlehem and the Jordan River and the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, dang, we're going to miss so much. But what hit me in a reflection while we were there was God stirring in my heart, like, Brittany, stop worrying about all that you're missing out on, all that you wish could be changed. Just receive the gift and the blessing that I've given you today. Mm. And that, not just in the Holy Land, but with my soccer career and my injuries. And like, if I focus on all that, it steals my joy. And so we ended up, the Annunciation, like that location, normally you get like a minute and it's like, they snap their hands and like, okay, move on. We got 20 minutes. Just us, maybe some other random 20 minutes by ourselves.
Wow.
We were the only people at the Primacy of Peter. We were the only people there. Like that does not happen. And so this gift of just like, God called us here. He invited us to his home where Jesus walked the earth. And it was so intimate. And then we did go to Jerusalem the third day. It wasn't supposed to be till like the fourth or fifth day. And yeah, I got a minute in the tomb by myself. And so it was such a gift. And then we ended up finding out that we had to get on a flight and it was 41 hours and we went to Ethiopia and we went to Ireland. Like it was the craziest journey, which I wish I could go into more detail, but
amazing.
Truly in this, it had such a powerful impact on my heart. And I still like can feel like sitting at the Mount of Beatitudes and just the silence there. And that was such a gift and I want to go back.
Yeah, I can tell. And audience, again, I know this episode has gone longer than we normally do, but boy, I know you agree that sure been worth it. Some amazing, amazing testimony that Brittany has shared. Brittany, thank you so much for sharing all that. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you coming on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you.
No, thank you and your ministry, and God bless all the people listening.
And listeners, since we have an athlete on the line, we will close this week with an athlete's prayer. It's been quite a while since I did this particular one. And of course, we will do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help me to play the game, dear Lord, with all my might and main. Grant me the courage born of right, a heart to stand the strain. Send me a sense of humor, Lord, to laugh when victory is mine, to laugh if I should meet defeat without a fret or whine. Give me the grace to follow rules, to fess up when I'm wrong, when silence or some other thing wins plaudits from the throng. When foes are tough and fighting fierce and I am getting weak, dear God, don't ever let me show a broad, bright yellow streak. And teach me, Lord, life's game to play just one day at a time. With Thee as coach and trainer, Lord, real victory must be mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.